Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
They don't have any mountains to get any references because everything's flat and palm trees. So we're getting them organized. But praise the Lord. Excited about today, excited about the Word, just also excited about... Where's our Haiti bunch? Where are they? Oh, here. Hey, Phil, come on up. Come up, James. Where's Jedediah? Oh, brother, don't do that to me. He leaves Michigan and lost his passport and drives all the way down here. What did you lose in your console, in your car or something?
No,
brother.
In your car. Well, my wife went left.
What's your wife's fault?
Thank God for wives. They find them. Okay, guys, anybody able to go to Haiti on Thursday? This Thursday? You've got some place in your schedule? These guys are. So I just want to kind of let you know that they're going into Haiti. We are putting them on the plane. They're going in at the DC-3, flying out from just south of us here, and they're taking 500 pounds of cargo in to distribute there. They will be there. Homer? That'll... Okay, we're starting with 500 pounds, okay? This guy gathers for the whole year, okay? Maybe, yeah, 3 years of gathering because of COVID and everything else. But Jedediah and Phil have gone to Haiti numerous times. In fact, 9 times, 10 times. Yeah, so they've got 7 with VBS. And so they've got these kids that have grown up from 10 years old. And now they're up in their 17, 18, 19-year-old. The future of Haiti belongs to the young people. The young people are the ones that are going to take it out of this curse and then put it into its blessing. So, and we go to the northwest area, and it's called the Mall, and so that's where they're going. We have been obviously on our back foot trying to raise the funds. So we're going to lock the door. I'm going to get this guy to shake all the money out of you, but we want to be able to. You see, I picked the guys, right, guys? But no, honestly, I just want you to ask God. Because we got to send them on Thursday. The window and everything happens on Thursday. So we want to be able to, yeah, we really would love $7,000, but $5,500 will get them there. It'll make it rough for them, as the challenge of anybody traveled in Haiti, knowing the transport system. We would prefer to get them a safer way to the Mall and then get the carrying. So $7,000, and that's just one check from one of you guys, so it'll be no problem. We really would like to ask. I don't strangle guys to get finances. I trust the Jesus in you to talk to you. But they're putting their lives in the place where they can go and bless these people, help them. The church we were involved with, the pastor there was the mayor of the town, so he has land. They've been able to take the tent that we allowed them to. We sent them a tent, and they survived, 5 years? In the heat, and now it's dismantled and fabric and fallen apart. So now they've built a building. They've actually got a roof on it. And so they're doers. They're not just, they're continually asking us. They get in and do it. They run a radio station there, and we sent them upgrades on the antenna so they could reach more people during the COVID. So we really have a good working relationship with Pastor Whistler. So I just want to pray for them and also ask you to ask God, what can you contribute? So sometimes I can't go, but I can take a check and put it there and say, go and bless the people, help the people, feed the people. It's their anniversary time, and we as a church throw a banquet for them. So they do that on the weekend before they fly out. So we want to throw the banquet, feed them up, and bless them, and tell them that from Coastal, we love them. So let's just stretch your hands towards this team, and... You should watch them. I'm looking forward to hearing James's story about Haiti, but these guys, they're in their wheelhouse when they're out there in the front line. So stretch your hands, and let's just pray for them. And Jerry and those guys, come and help, because I haven't got long enough arms to lay hands on these guys. I'm going to send them. So Father, thank you. Thank you for Phil. Thank you for Jedediah. We thank you for James. Father, they're positioning themselves that they could be a vessel through which divine favor flows. Help in those that have misfortune. Father, we thank you that they would carry a message of hope and of joy and of victory, And Father, that there is a hope and a future in God, and we thank you for the lives they're going to touch, the kids they're going to touch. I know that they're going to be preaching to the congregation there. They're going to be loving on the congregation there, and we thank you that life is going to come through these vessels to this area, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the funds, Lord, that's being released so that we can get them in there. We can fly the cargo in right to its destination. We don't have to get road transport and all the other stuff that goes with it. But Father, we want to bless them and be able to allow them to be the best they can be for Jesus in the front lines. And so we thank you for that. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. All right. Good to see you again, Phil. You don't age one bit, eh?
I asked for
a table. You don't look bad for 100, brother. You don't look bad for 100. Hallelujah. Okay. Valerie, just drop that in for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're excited about that. Men's breakfast, we're canceling it for September, just pushing a pause button for 1 month. Just wanted to throw that out there. And obviously, I just want to let you know that Val and I are running to the airport straight after the service. And we're heading to South Africa. Obviously, those that know us, and visitors that don't know us, we're born and raised in Africa, and I've this last season has been a treacherous one on our family. Obviously, four brother-in-laws have passed away, a sister-in-law's passed away, and my sister has passed away. So we're going back just to connect with family. We're also going back to meet up with the leadership that we submit to, John and Jane, Denise's mom and dad. And we're going to have a conference together and just kind of get encouraged. You know, sometimes you need to pull back from the front line and get encouraged a little. So we're going to get the Google Earth picture of what's happening around the world, and we're going to connect with them and get to see my brother who's got leukemia. And his name's Basil. If that comes to your heart, cry out to God for him. He's going through treatment and is fairly challenged. Then obviously Val's mom is in her 90s. We're getting to see her, because these people check out when you're not expecting. Suddenly they just graduate and off they go to be with Jesus, and we haven't got a chance to see them. So, and I just ask you, Barry's preaching next Sunday, so brace your belts. Barry's going to be up here. But I need the church to show up. Please don't, I know, because you know that Rod always phones you and finds out where you're at if you're not here, okay? So I won't know that. In fact, I should set up a camera up here. Freddie, that's one of your jobs, eh? Set up a camera and I can have a look and see who's not at church. So I can call you from Africa. This is God speaking from Africa. Why aren't you at church? No. I just need you to show up, because there is spiritual warfare like you can't believe, going in all fronts, and we need to show up, stand together, declare these songs that we declare it, listen to the word of God, have our faith kites built up so we can make sure the battle will prevail, and we will see the victory because we read the end of the book. But you got to show up to get the benefits of the end of the book. You got to show up. So thank you. So I'm looking forward to this word that continuing and closing off the series that we've been at. And obviously it's been in the theme of being fearless and faithful, because last year we weren't that, because 2 Timothy says this, 1:7, says God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the biggest battle you're going to have is between your 2 ears here, and all the stuff that you're going to hear and come from your eye gate and from your ear gate is going to challenge you. So guard it with all your might to make sure what you're seeing, what you're hearing is good, because otherwise the spirit of fear will crawl in. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. And so we need to be battle ready. And Daniel tells us, 11:32, I've kept saying this, that those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. The translation we've been looking at says that you will resist him, him as being Lucifer, Satan, and the devil, who has his cohorts working hard at pressing against the bride of Christ, the kingdom of God. And so we want to be able to understand that. And Ephesians says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against political parties. We're not wrestling against all this crud that we see in this. We're against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. We've got to be aware of that. I know we live in a first world where everything 1 + 1 must equal 2, but there's a realm of the spirit that is more real than what we see here with our natural eyes. And we've got to be aware of it. There is a heavenly war, and that we need to make sure that we are declaring what God wants us to declare. We're not siding with the enemy and siding with the bad news. We need to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so So three things you need to know. You need to know your God. You need to know your enemy. And you need to know how to destroy, how to battle the enemy, how to fight the enemy. It's important. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Be sober. No sipping saints. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so you start dabbling in areas and in a thought life that is not right. The enemy says, there's my foothold. There's my hook. And then suddenly, Pastor, I'm not doing so well. Why? Because you've got stinking thinking. We've got to get our thinking right. Amen. Hallelujah. So a weapon of choice is prayer. Because I tell you what, that it's powerful and effective. That's what James 5:16 says. The effective fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So we dove into the Jesus teach us to pray, and that came from when the disciples in Luke 11:1, it says there that when Jesus had prayed, he came back, came out, and the disciples said, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's where I got the title from. Jesus, teach us to pray. And then he goes on, and it's recorded in Matthew 6 and also in Luke 11. But for the last time, as we do it together, I would like you to say it after me. Can I get this right? Hey, James, I said after me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In summary, that prayer is announced in plural. It's about our Father. It's about forgive us and that we forgive. It's plural. It's personal, about our Father, not some God out there that we don't know. It's our Father who art in heaven. He's personal. It has a place. We're talking about heaven coming to earth. That's our mandate. We need to pray that in so that the kingdom of God will come on earth. Why would Jesus teach that if he doesn't have it all facilitated through the believers and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that kingdom can come here on earth? And when we see blind eyes open, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the sick are healed, and the poor are blessed, then we know that the kingdom of God has come. Because that's what Jesus said to the disciples and John the Baptist. He said, "But just go and tell John that this is happening." It's also filled with praise. Hallowed be thy name. We place God at the pinnacle of everything. He is the beginning and the end. And so he is hallowed. His name is hallowed. It's holy. And then Jesus says, now I need you to petition. I need you to petition. This is Jesus red writing telling us how to pray, petitioning us for his presence. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. When God's kingdom comes, his presence comes with it. He doesn't send his kingdom without his presence. And where's his presence? His presence. We sang about it so powerfully this morning. It's in his Holy Spirit. And it comes in his presence. And then he says, give us this day. He doesn't say, go and I beg God. No, Father, I thank you. Assign to me, because you are my king, that there is provision, and I ask you to give today. You come boldly into the throne. Not coming all sheepish and on your knees and begging and apologizing. No, boldly come in, because we're the king's kids. Amen. And so there's provision. And then we ask our pardon, because we don't glow in the dark. Switch off these lights. Guarantee none of us glow in the dark here. So we have earth feet of clay. And so we have to come to him. And God, pardon us, man. I had stinking thinking yesterday. I said the wrong thing. And I shouldn't have said that to my wife, because it's not good now at home. And bring it and ask God to pardon, because he has forgiven us. But we continually need to understand that we need to come before God. And then obviously last week I spoke about protection, protecting us, and lead us not into temptation, or redirect our paths, God, and deliver us from evil. And today I want to end with the last line on that prayer, and it's the petitioning his power. I want to petition his power. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I know that not all translations have this line here, But I can honestly say, reading the Bible for all these many years, that is fairly scriptural. I know that maybe King James took his license and added that, but I don't mind him adding that, because truly it is his kingdom and it's his power and it's his glory. But so don't let it. And if it's a problem with you, these translators, these people that have great things about translations, just call it my title of the sermon, okay? That line, okay? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Just listen to what God wants to say, because it's really powerful, because it's about his kingdom and it's about his power and it's about his glory. That's why he's asking us to pray, so that can happen. And it's important that we see that. And we need to remind ourselves that this is not because we have a religious connection. No, we have a relational place. There's not a religious connection we have, but it's a relational place that we have. And prayer is effective as we have a personal relationship and we have the heart of the King and the kingdom in our forefront when we pray. So when we're praying salvation, we want that person to come into the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's what the King wants. That's what, because I'm only small D dad to my kids. I'm just, you know, I'd say to the congregation, I did not die for you at Calvary. So I just have the privilege of being a custodian, as a shepherd, an under shepherd, as you come through. Some come to us, some go through us, and that's fine. But I'm going to be the best Jesus I can be to them while they're in our sphere. I do not own you. I did not go to Calvary for you. But it's honestly, you need to understand, it's all about the King and the kingdom. And if you do this religiously and have this religious kind of connection, I just want to let you know that the sons of Sceva, Barry loves this story. The sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, they got their plow clean. Let me just say this, because they had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Let me just read it to you. Verse 13, he says, because they now found this guy that was demon-possessed. So these seven sons of Sceva decide, no, that we're going to do some exorcism on them. And if you do these things in the spiritual and you want to pray and you don't have a relationship with the God, let me just say that you want to do this religious thing, it doesn't work. And you're also getting into the territory where the devil says, what you're going to find in the scripture here, which you're going to make aware, it says, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Does that sound like they got a personal relationship with Jesus? No, they're referring to the Jesus that Paul preached. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus? Yeah, I know him. Paul? Yes, I know him. But who are you? I've never seen you come into my arena here. Where have you been hiding? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Watch out. You mess with the demons, you could land up naked. I'm telling you, Dave Cape and I were praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Haiti, and there were 400 folk in a room, a third of the size, crazy, packed, and everybody started manifesting demonically. Woo! We'd have a tiger by the tail. My gosh. But I want you to understand here, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? It is important that you have a relationship with God and you in the place of prayer, because the demonic get to know, heck, this guy ain't messing around. This girl ain't messing around. She's got a connection with God. And when you do that, there's a certain thing when Valerie gets up with worship and stuff, because you've done it for so many years, they know we don't quit. We know that the enemy comes and tries to harass the whole worship side of things. I've run sound, and I've had every demon in hell come and make sounds and make noises, and I don't know where it comes from. And I've had to stand my ground, be the sound guy. And now I can go up to a sound desk, and suddenly everything changes. Why? Because, yeah, we know Val in the realms of the spirit with worship, and I know Rod because he's stuck. That's why you've got to show up and be faithfully showing up. Because you put a stamp in the realms of the Spirit, not like these sons of Sceva and say, oh, let me just pray in the name of Jesus that Paul prayed. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus that Rod or Jerry or Joey prayed. No, you get your plow clean. You need to know Jesus for yourself. That's why it's a relational deal that we're asking you to understand. That you go to Dad daily and say, our Father in heaven, I'm here again, and here we talk, and we need to talk. And I want to, so it mustn't be a repetitious mantra that we're, and a repeating like a parrot. Don't do that, because Jesus warns us about that. And I'll read it to you. Because this whole thing, as I told you before, this prayer is a guide. It's bullet points. It's a pattern that helps us hold our frame of thought so we can process and clearly approach the things that need to be approached. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't say this and think it's some magical words that you're going to say that's going to, as many religious organizations have been there and they've kind of just ripped, they do this every Sunday, read the Lord's Prayer. They don't understand it like this. We need to understand it like this. And so here Jesus cautions and says, just before this prayer, he says this in Matthew 6:7. He says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Church, I want us to listen to ourselves when we pray. I know that when my kid starts talking and says, Dad, 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 and starts talking, I understand that they're saying Dad while they're processing their thoughts. But eventually, if Nathan comes to me, who's 6'7", and he's 38 years old, comes and says, Dad, 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 and he starts talking like, I think, son, you've got to better grow up. You better get your thoughts together. Man, I didn't spend that money on education for you to be a bumbling wreck. Come on, speak, man. And so we need to understand that when we come, listen to, I hear some people saying, it's like me talking, Jerry. Now, listen, Jerry, I need to tell you about this. Jerry. I know, okay, I've got it. I know you're talking to me, Jerry. Okay, so God, can you? No, listen to yourself and just speak intelligently, because we went and got an education. Say, Father, I come to you. I thank you. I can come to you because Jesus paid the price, and I'm standing here in his robes of righteousness because mine are filthy rags. I come here, but I boldly ask you that you would reach down where Dave Cape is now, and that your very presence would touch his life. And Father, that area that is so-called malignant in that, we denounce those words in Jesus' name. When you speak those words, clearly thinking what you're saying, heaven starts moving. Angels start dispatching. Church, we've got to wake up and stop being mealy-mouthed Christians. We need to wake up. I'm saying this happily and nicely, okay? Hallelujah. Hey, Phil, come on. All right. I've got 3 points and I've got to hurry up because I've got a plane to catch. Literally, I've got a plane to catch. Hallelujah. Okay, so today, woo. So we pray to the Father about the Son's mission in the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. And the three thoughts I want to talk to you about today is that it's about his kingdom. It's about his kingdom. Our heart and our focus and our motives needs to be about his kingdom, because his kingdom is here and now. He dispatched his kingdom when he commissioned the disciples. He says, all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth has been given to me. Now you go and preach the good news, make disciples, and establish the kingdom of God. It's important that we understand that, because when we're petitioning his presence, his provision, his pardoning, his protection, we're talking the kingdom into this realm here. And our words have life and it has power. When we speak God's words, it's as powerful as having him speak it when he walked the earth. That's what we've got to have the confidence in, because that's the position. Hey, it's nothing about this earth suit. This earth suit's a joke. But Jesus chooses this earth suit to use. And so I want to be bold in doing it and confident in doing it. And you've got to understand that Jesus was talking about the kingdom constantly, because he mentions it 129 times in the Gospels. He talks about the kingdom. Examples, Matthew 13:24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. Verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like the merchant seeking a beautiful pearl. He continually using day-to-day life issues and stuff so we can bring an understanding to the kingdom of God, because we are here commissioned to bring the kingdom of God into place. So it's about his kingdom. So important that we understand that, because Jesus established legally his kingdom upon the earth. How? because he died at Calvary, he shed his blood, and he rose from the dead. And so he has an authority to establish the kingdom of God here, and we need to understand that. You got to understand, when the Romans took over the world, as their military might took possession of that lands and stuff, and they built their roads, the next thing that came along, they used to call the ship the apostolic ship. Why? Because it contained the law, the order, the governance, the finances, and the structure of the kingdom of God that is now coming to this new region. That is our job. There's a verbiage that we carry into the as the kingdom of God. There is a behavior that we carry in to these places out upon the earth, and we carry a financial way with our life. We have this whole kingdom system that God says, let heaven come to earth. Let the kingdom of God come to the earth. So we need to be, do you think those people in that apostolic team behaved outside of the realms of the structure of Rome? No chance. They'd lose their head. But we have a loving king that says, listen, there is a better way. And I want to bring this loving, better way through with my people into your home, into your workplace, into your school areas. I want you to come in there and allow my kingdom to bless the people, set them free, and break the chains. And I want you to do that because I'm authorized you. I've given you an authority to do that. So it's important that we understand that. And we've had this transferred to us, this authority, and we need to understand it. So I want to ask you, are you carrying the kingdom of God into your workplace, into your study place, into your social space? As a retired person, are you still advancing the kingdom? You never retire from the kingdom of God. You just refire. Good news for modern man. Hallelujah. But what are we doing? I want to tell you, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. And I'll tell you what, we need to do that. Next point I want to talk about, it's by his power. Yours is the power. Acts 2:7, it says, yeah, for it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That day of Pentecost, those little no backbone disciples suddenly got a backbone. Why? Because the Holy Ghost came upon them. They became bold. Peter began to preach. Salvation came. 5,000 came to the Lord. Then 3,000 came to the Lord. Suddenly, what happened to those wimps that were hiding behind closed doors, thinking the religious guys are going to come and get them, and they were fearful? What happened to them? The power of the Holy Ghost came upon them on the day of Pentecost. And that's the power. God says, I cannot get you to do this job without you being empowered by me. I can't do this church thing without being empowered by the Holy Ghost, because I'll just make a good mess of it. And I can try and do this out of soul power. You can try and do this kingdom stuff with that soul power. It doesn't work. You will burn yourself out. The enemy will just clean your plow. You're going to need to be powered by the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand that. We need to see that. Here, Mark 14:50 says, and then they all forsook him, and then they fled. So we've already spoken about the Sceva guys losing their clothes. The scripture goes on here just to humor us. Now, a certain young man following him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young man then laid hold of him, and he left the linen clothes and fled from them naked. Again, this New Testament has got all these people streaking here. So the first streaker, he was the first streaker in the New Testament. You've got to understand that they all forsook, and even old, and the thing is, the students of the scripture said, you know, that actually is Mark, the guy who's writing the Gospel of Mark. He's telling on himself. He ran himself out of that linen cloth. And so, yeah, it's interesting. He tells on himself, but that's what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll get you to tell on yourself, and then you'll be free. Because whatever you bring into the light, the darkness can't have hold on it. Hallelujah. But I want to just tell you that we need to understand that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. A whole lot of God comes on and starts sorting out and illuminating things here. Have a look at this prayer meeting here in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Sometimes you find yourself a little timid out there in the front lines or in your workplace or in the place where you need to actually stand up and speak up, because you're trying, you've got to avoid being politically correct. You've got to be biblically correct. I'm sorry about that. You're just going to have to do that as a Christian. You've got to be biblically correct, and you need to walk that strongly and boldly. And here we see that that the Holy Spirit came. Yes, they got baptized there in Pentecost, but here they got filled again. And it, you need to understand that. I just want to say on a side note that we started a meeting on the last Friday of the month here, and we're calling it Anything Can Happen. And anything can happen. So if you're brave enough, come and join us. So anything can happen, because I want this place where the whole shaking, this is a solid concrete roof, so we can handle a whole lot of shaking going on here. So we want to make sure we really want to invite you. But at the baptism, all were baptized. But here again, they were filled again. Why do they need to be filled? You need to continually have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we leak. We leak. We need to continually have a place where we are being encouraged and filled by the Holy Spirit. Where does that happen? At prayer times, at this anything can happen time, in your war room. There's places at worship times when you're singing. There is places where the Holy Spirit comes and He fills you up again. Because if we're going to be these vessels that are continually given out, it's going to be given out by the Holy Ghost, and we need to get rejuvenated. We're going to be quickened. And I'm hoping that as I spend a 16-hour flight this evening across to Africa, that I can sit there and say, Holy Ghost, this is a good time to fill me up. Because it's going to be a pouring out for 24 days as we take 9 flights, different places in Africa, to meet family and go to meetings. So really, we need to find these places will fill you up, because we've got to run under the power of the Holy Ghost. So important that you understand that. And it's key to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you, but then you need to be continually filled up. And I'm just going to ask at the end of the service, when I hand it to Freddie and the team, to allow you, say, God, I actually feel quite run down and dry, because it's just a battlefield out there. Can you fill me up? Just ask Him. He's not going to come and put into you what you don't invite. He's going to invite, just find a time. And those that have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, He just doesn't come in and take over the house. I just don't walk into my son's house and just take over and rearrange his furniture and everything else. It comes by invitation. So invite the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I haven't asked you to baptize me. It's absolutely sexual. Does it make you better? No. Then the person who says doesn't want that? No. It just makes you better off. Because when you get baptized at salvation, it empowers you in your own life, in your own personal life. But when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, when you invite Him, it empowers you to help others. And that's what we're here for. We're not here for ourselves. We're here because it's for His kingdom and it's His power. I want to close off, land this plane, so I can find another plane. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last thought is for His glory. 2 Peter 1:17 says this, for He, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from an excellent glory. You know, when He spoke to Him, when He got water baptized by John, these are the words that were spoken over Jesus. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, at that time, had a blessing spoken over him by His dad, and He hadn't done one miracle yet. And He hadn't done any ministry yet. Why? Because He required to get baptized in the Holy Ghost to be empowered as the Son of God to be able to go out and minister. So it was so important. So Jesus, He was baptized so He could be empowered. And so I want to just tell you that when you are born in your natural birth, you're uniquely gifted by God in different areas. Some guys are administrative, some guys are creative, some guys are just absolute engineering geniuses that will go to NASA. All these kind of giftings that happen. But at your spiritual birth, you're also gifted. And this gifting allows you in all sorts of things that you get involved in and people get involved in. Now, I do this pastoring thing. So when you get gifted like that, and when you start shining in your gifting, remember that what you do and the compliments you get must have that glory given to God. Why? Because He gave you the gift, and that glory belongs to Him. So when this person from Africa, never passed an English exam before, didn't like speeches, didn't like standing up in front of crowds, happens to be the pastor of Coastal Family Church. You know that there is a miracle happening. Well, miracle happens in donkeys. Miracle happens in Rod Palmer. And so you got to understand that any kind of thing that's good that's happening belongs to Jesus, because, hey, this is a clay vessel that is hanging on to Jesus with all his might. I always say the Holy Spirit needs a rest more on Monday than I did, because I lean so heavily on him, because I know this can't be done without him. And so we got to understand that the glory that happens needs to be given to God. Anything that happens good through my life, Father, thank you. Jesus did that when they came to him. And he says, listen, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And I only say what the Father tells me to say. He continually deferred the glory to God, his Father. And we need to do that. Why? Because it's Dad's idea, it's Dad's doing, and Dad sent me, and it's Dad's glory. So we need to just keep that in its place. Because when you do keep that in its place, God can faithfully use you. And you watch lives touched and changed. Moses said, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. What's the definition of glory? It's what makes you good at what you do. You see, there is a gifting on friend Denise in the worship. They just have saturated and lived their life leading worship. That's their glory. And I know that they give that glory to God, because they know that they yielded vessels for the master's use. And Moses is saying, God, show me your glory. And he put him in the cleft of a rock and he said, you know what my glory is? As God Almighty is my goodness. If you want to sum it up, who God is, he's good. He is very good. And the only thing he wanted to display, he says, that what summarizes me, Moses, is my goodness. And you may not understand some of the things I do, but I am good. That is my glory. And that's, we need to understand that. So folks, when Peter writes this in 1 Peter 4:11, he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone he ministers, let him do that. Do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're just the vessels through which divine favor flows, preventing misfortune in the lives of others. And we need to continually usher that through. So Jesus is teaching us to pray that it's his kingdom and it's his power and it's his glory. And we need to have that kept in place. And this last song we sang just with, I think was resonating these. It's for him, through him, and to him. It's all about him. And if we keep that in place, church, watch the power of God be distributed, and the glory of God and the open heavens that we sang about is going to happen here. I've seen an open heaven over Flagler County where angels are ascending and descending. I've seen the runway arch here packed with planes, with people flying in to touch the goodness and the glory of God. Because why? The church has cried out and asked God to come and visit us. And so we want God to come and visit us. And so people can come and touch the presence of God and be changed, and they can carry it to wherever they want to go with that glory and with that presence. That's where my faith is. That's where, because I can see that can happen through each one of you. There's going to be a revival at the Walmart checkout. Right in the Target parking area, you're going to bring revival. Why? It's not going to happen in the building. We're going to fire you up from the pulpit and chase you out there and say, go and do Jesus out there. Go and do the miracles out there, because that's where it's designed for. It's out there. So Coastal, our weapon of choice is prayer. So let's make sure that we're doing it with the right motive, the right focus, the right heart, and understanding it by his power, that we can do that, and it's for his glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Freddie, Denise, musicians. For it's for his kingdom, by his power, and for his glory. Church, I don't want you to leave the building and not ask God to just fill you afresh. Because some of these things around the world is just weighing us down. it's taken us our eye off the ball. I want us to call on Holy Spirit to let be the wind beneath your wings that allow us to soar to new heights. This is a good day. It's a great day. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves us, absolutely adores us, and He wants to fill us afresh. So that's you. As we start singing, we'll sing it through a few verses, and then Freddie can just go into music. And if those that haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I know that we're all over the spectrum of people believing what that is. But if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, just come up here. The team that was with us out there and the elders, come up here, pray with them. The Bible says that he wants to fill us. Come up and fill us. But if you're here and you've never responded to the invitation of allowing Jesus to be your Lord, to become family with God, I want to tell you, it's a prayer away. If you invite Jesus into your life, allow him to be your Lord. Allow him to clear you of your sins, because he has done so. Then I want you to pray with us before we have this time of ministry and allow the Holy Spirit to come and touch our lives. And if that's you in church, we know what we do. We pray out loud, encouraging those that want to pray and need to pray and invite Jesus into their life. Because, man, I did that 40 years ago, and my life's changed. Never been the same. Allow Jesus to come in and take and walk with you and talk with you and be your friend and be your God and be your guide. Would you do that? Just bow our heads, and would you pray out loud with me and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me. Today, I invite you into my life to be my Lord, to be my leader. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I call you Lord in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer,